Newsprint, a podcast about print news. Okay. Let's start classic. Hi. What's up, nerds?
Hi.
We're back.
We love you.
Hi, Yidis.
I am very caffeinated. I'm sorry.
How are you?
I'm good. Yeah. It's spring break.
Spring break.
My grading.
Hell yeah.
Stupid quarter system where I have to finish grading and then start a new quarter after spring break.
Oof, yeah.
But yay.
Yay. Little break though.
Mm-hmm.
Sleeping in.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do over spring break? What do you want to do?
I am going to get a tattoo.
Of what?
It's going to be my first tombstone tattoo.
Tombstone.
The gal that did my knife and my peony. Mm-hmm. I don't know where I'm getting on my body yet, but mm-hmm. It's a tombstone that's going to say, things could be worse.
Love that. Is it your own tombstone?
I saw her post one that said something else, and I was mm-hmm. like, things could be worse is one from one of my prints.
Yeah.
So it's her tombstone, but my text. Yeah.
Fun.
Yeah.
That's cool. Wait, shout out that tattoo artist. Do you know their
name? Margot. I think it's just Margot's Tattoo. Let me triple check. She's kind of new to... Margot Tattoos.
Margot Tattoos.
Shannon Margot.
Cool. So tattoo over spring break. Cool.
Yeah. Maybe work on this zine that I don't know what the fuck I'm doing.
Zines.
Zine book thing that I don't know what it is.
Will it have a rainbow roll?
Maybe.
A blend?
I think it's going to be Rizzo, so.
A Rizzo blend.
Perhaps.
Cute.
I don't know. I don't even know why I'm doing it. So.
Are you going to print at Outlet?
Probably.
Cute.
Yeah.
We love them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're cool. On spring break, but that doesn't mean you're off work, right?
Right. I took a couple days off before spring break. And then, next week is also my spring break. And I'm imagining it will be quiet around the studio.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, that's good. That's great. A little quiet week.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's that.
You working on new prints?
I am. Yeah. Let's see. Each year PNCA does a portfolio exchange. So I need to get my ass in gear with that because it's due April 12th and I need to make 28 prints and I have not started really. I coated a plate and that's it. Because I came up with a different print I wanted to do, and it's just been captivating my brain. So
yeah.
I haven't gotten started on the exchange yet. And I also just finished the printing portions of two prints and need to finish them officially. But I'm excited. I'm going to shinkle a digital print. I'm hoping to digitally print on Gompy, even though there's a Gompy shortage right now.
Oof. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's hard to find. anyway, I'm trying to digitally print on Gompy and then shinkle it into my prompt. There's a cell phone in my etching, and it's going to be the cell phone screen.
Does it need to be Gompy?
No.
I've digitally printed on Okawara before, and that
I don't even know her
really well. The bad thing about that one, I think usually it comes in 36 by 24 sheets. Mm. They're pretty big and they're $20 a pop. But they last. But they print digitally really well, and you don't even need to tape it to anything. It just goes through.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's good to know.
If you're talking a big Epson, the big dudes.
Yeah, I was honestly probably just going to tape it to an 8.5 by 11 and run it through the mailroom printer and see what it looked like.
Ooh, that might not work, but try it.
See how it goes?
Yeah.
I don't know.
But I know, Okawara. Talk to Daniel.
Watch the, technology people get so pissed because I've, wrecked a printer. Sorry.
Yeah.
We'll see. I don't know.
Yeah.
But,
test some shit out.
Yeah. I'm excited about
that. You don't want to do a CMYK?
I was looking at your prints being is this what I should do? And then I thought to myself, no.
It won't look the same. Yeah, it won't look the same.
And I've been editing these photos in Photoshop, and they're all, weird and stretched and distorted and cool, and I am like, I don't want to see him like this.
Yeah. It ruins that part a little. Yeah. Like, depends on what you want.
Yeah, I don't know, but I'm open to different methods of that madness.
I'm just nerding so we'll out see. Real hard here. What about a toner transfer?
Onto a plate?
Onto the print.
Oh, onto the print. Mm-hmm. That's true, that's true. I wonder if any of the printers we have at school are toner printers.
Most likely.
Yeah, I'll have to ask around. That'd be cool. Yeah.
Because, do you know Nadike Okanuli Crosby? Mm-mm. She does really cool things with toner transfer.
That's cool.
Yeah, I'll show you later.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have messed around with toner transfers, but I've not, like, at least that I remember, put it in one of my prints. Yeah.
This is the thing. It's like, you're like, I want to do a thing. I don't want it to look like this. And it's like, fuck, how many ways are there? Yeah. But they all look different.
So many ways.
Yeah, I mean, a toner transfer would look really different than a shinkoli.
Oh, maybe I'll just fuck around and find out.
In the best way. Yeah. Not a threat.
Not a threat. maybe a little bit of a threat to myself. But anyway, it should be cool. Tell us about the pop event in May.
Oh, yeah.
Well, maybe tell everybody what pop is again. We'll kind of talk about it later in the episode. But
right. Printmakers of Portland.
Yes.
And there's other events happening before this, but I'm going to have an open house at my school in May.
What school is that?
Mount Hood Community College. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, a lot of people haven't seen the shop. Like, Cammie's never even
seen the
shop.
I've never been there. It's so crazy.
Because it's, like, 20 minutes out of the way, and on the weekend, I don't want to go there.
Yeah.
Except when I'm doing an open house. So I'm trying to spruce it up a little.
Cute. Decorate.
Yeah, and we're going to have T-shirt printing. I mean, Pop's trying to just kind of support open houses so people have a place to go hang out and talk about printmaking or do print things together, and then also promote those spaces. So, so we're going to have T-shirt printing, and then we're going to have, what else did I say? Oh, like, everybody have people bring their scrap prints, and then we'll do collage stuff that will maybe become a zine.
Awesome.
I don't want to promise. Did I promise it? Is it in the ad? In the promo? I'll have to check.
I don't think so.
I think? Okay, yeah. I'll double check.
Anyway. I think it was just scrap print collages.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Maybe it'll become a zine.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's happening. Yeah. I've been dinking around trying to make a zine.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Nick and I are going to do Satin Over 4.0.
Pretty Nicky.
Satin Over Turf. 4.0.
Satin turf.
Well, both of our names have over in it, so we do satin over turf. Satin over?
Oh,
over
that's
turf?
True.
So then
I get it.
We did not start collaborating because of that.
Wow, that's
but
cute.
It just worked that way.
Yeah.
But I'm going to Tennessee. I'm going to Illinois twice this summer, and one of those times, I will be driving down to Nashville, and we're going to print stuff together.
That sounds delightful.
Yeah. So I'm starting to plan for that a little.
Cool.
Yeah.
Love.
Yeah.
Yeah. What else?
Kemi and I are really bummed that we're not going to SGC.
Yeah. Of course, we're going to have intense, insane FOMO.
Yeah.
But, you know, we could have gone, but it's just all the way across the country, and that's
not... Oh, I don't
know
if I can ever go again, because it's, like, the first week of my spring term, almost always.
Oh.
So fair enough. Unless they change the date the next time, it's really hard to go.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, shit.
I know.
Yeah, that's just, I don't know, like, so far away.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Anyway. I didn't have it in me emotionally.
Yeah. Yeah, but MAPSI.
Hell yeah.
In the fall.
Yeah. And then you mentioned this Rumpa.
The next Rumpa is the next fall.
Yeah.
Which is in Reno.
Is that? No, it's 25. Fall
25, yeah.
I was like, is that 26?
Which maybe we do some wrestling again because it's driving distance.
Edie, okay, just a little tangent. I've been doing... ancestry digging in my family. Uh-huh. Because there's a lot of, like, shitty dads that disappeared into the mist. And I want to know about these people. Anyways, my grandmother's father, my dad's mom, her dad was one of the dads that kind of just, like, disappeared and wasn't around. But I have found some of his family, and one of his brothers was a wrestler.
Oh my God!
And then, you know, one of his brothers was also, like, a serial killer, but we can glaze over that. How many people does it take to become a serial killer? Because he killed 2 people. Isn't it 3?
I think might be 3.
Okay. So he just killed 2 people, that's all.
Is it, like, 2 is coincidence and 3 is planned?
I don't know. He killed somebody, went to jail, and then killed somebody in jail. Crazy.
Those are different circumstances, so it's like, I don't know. Does serial killer mean that you have to, like, have an M.O. and then you walk around killing people with the same M.O.?
It's a good question. Someone tell us.
This is not a crime podcast.
No. Not at all. But anyways, all of that is to say that I'm related to a wrestler.
You were meant to be the ghost friend.
It's in my blood, yeah. I need to make a new outfit for that. The last outfit was not up to snuff. So I'm going to make a new,
yeah,
a new ghost wrestler outfit.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, maybe we'll do it again. I mean, that'd I kept so all fun. The stuff. I kept the foam mats and the ring and
right.
stuff.
Right, yeah.
We could do it again.
I hung up the beef belt in my little studio. That was really funny. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, maybe again.
Maybe again. Should we talk opportunities?
Yeah, do it.
Opportunities. Boop, 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 boop. Boop, 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 boop.
Which one you want to do one and then I'll do it?
You go first.
Okay.
If you want to.
Okay. Here, you want me to hold this? Sure. Make sure I don't turn it off. Cool. I'm bad at this. Next, and I don't mean like I'm talking about next, it's called Next. is the Biennial of Contemporary Printmaking to be held during Print Houston. And Next is looking for innovative and challenging works that transcend process and materials and present printmaking as a versatile and adaptable medium. They invite artists who are pushing the boundaries of printmaking techniques and materials to apply. They are also they also welcome artists who are using traditional techniques to speak to contemporary themes and audiences. In addition to lithography, relief, intaglio, monotype, and screen print, Next is interested in artists who use printmaking to create installations, ceramics, sculpture, and artist books. And I'm happy to hear that because there's a lot of shows where it's like, we don't take 3D. Mm-hmm. So this is nice. The only criteria beyond excellent quality is that the primary techniques used in the creation of the work be listed above. So it's pretty open. There are cash awards, and the application is on Call for Entry, the cafe Call for Entry, and it's due May 5th.
That sounds
like a cool one. Yeah.
That sounds great. Okay. Hamilton Wood Type New Impressions Call for Entries is an international exhibition of letterpress printing for all the letterpress girlies. That's in the official call. Focusing on showcasing the exploration and creativity within the letterpress or within letterpress printing techniques. 2024 is the 9th year of the New Impressions exhibit. Submitted work must be made within the last 5 years. That's a pretty big window, so that's good. Open to both traditional and non-traditional printmaking arts media, but must include letterpress printing. Work must be sent unframed. We love that. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, no 3D entries, and it's due April 6th. I wonder, so I've done relief printing on a Vandercook. Does that count?
Good question. I mean, when they say letterpress, I assume that means
words.
Type.
Maybe I'll just sneak one little word letter
but
in
also,
there.
I mean, are they including boxcar press plates, like polymer plates? That's not necessarily type.
It's not type. Let's have questions. Hamilton, we got questions. Sir, Mr. Hamilton?
Letterpress printing techniques, which I would think includes relief blocks on letterpress.
I mean, I'm using a plate backer.
I mean, I would say it would be worth applying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Love that. Cool. Those are our two calls. Let us know if you know of any other calls. And now we're going to talk about events. Boop, 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 boop. Do you want a popcorn, like, back and forth?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay.
You want me to start? Okay. Sure. So we have the Print Houston. So it is the 13th annual Print Matters at Print Houston. After 13 years, Print Houston has grown from 5 founding members to a recognized 501c3 nonprofit art organization representing growing global community of printmakers and print supporters. Print Houston coordinates many programs from the print community, including annual membership shows, membership group critiques, international portfolio trades and exhibitions, national juried exhibitions, as well as public works, demonstrations, and guest lectures. Print Houston and Rock and Roll in Prints were the first major events presented in 2011 and have continued since with the addition of national juried exhibitions Next and Press Forward. These events were designed to demonstrate the process of printmaking and to expose the public to artists, printmakers, local, national, and international.
This year, ULAE, United Limited Art Editions, will be represented with special guest Larissa Goldston, their director.
We're popcorning. Yeah. Houston area galleries, museums, institutions, and alternative spaces are scheduled to showcase the diversity of printmaking art forms with exhibitions, artist talks, workshops, and more. The continuous growth of Print Houston, with expected attendance of over 5,000 print enthusiasts, wow, attracts national and international artists to participate in the largest printmaking festival in Texas. So this is bigger than Print Austin.
Wow, that's cool.
I didn't realize that. Check our website and keep a lookout for details in our next weekly e-blast that will announce openings and our print schedule of events.
All I'm saying is we can do Print Portland. Just saying.
Yeah.
call for entries such as Next, juried exhibition just mentioned, plus other upcoming events are listed on their website, and that is linked in ours, in our website.
I also want to clarify, so Print Matters is also a magazine, and I thought that this was in...
Matter?
Is it Printed Matter?
I think it's...
I was in it. I should know this. Just Googling while MAGA. Nope. Pressing Matters. Thank God. Hello, okay. Well. I'm like, these people.
No, that's. Wait,
what? There's only so many things you can call printmaking things. This is a book fair from. Oh, okay. Interesting. We'll look at that later. That's in New York.
Nothing like live Googling on a podcast.
This is so auditory stimulating.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, moving on. I was wrong.
Pressing Matters.
Yes.
That's fine.
Yes.
Now we know.
Okay.
Okay, cool. If anyone is thinking of getting me a gift, I would love a subscription to Pressing Matters. Thank you.
They're so pretty.
They're so pretty. Okay, let's talk about shows. Boop, 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 boop. The Pyramid Atlantic Art Center. Join Pyramid for the opening of Mesh, a national juried...
A national buried
exhibition of screen-printed works. Mesh offers a wide range of art that celebrates the possibilities of screen printing. 34 works and the same number of artists are featured in this exhibition. Exhibition is opening on March 15th, so that already happened, but it is on view until April 28th in Hyattsville, Maryland.
Yeah, I wish I could go see that. Okay, kind of shameless self-promotion. I'm in a show in Louisville called Shop Talk, which is a celebration of communal spirit shared by printmakers. Cool. This is their copy from their press. Not one artist or studio is an island. As printers, we rely on one another for wisdom, inspiration, progression of skill, and camaraderie. The show will take place in the historic Portland neighborhood of Louisville, Kentucky, which is funny. This is the oldest neighborhood in Portage Point of Louisville and has been long been a place full of artists, musicians, travelers, and craftspeople passing through on the Ohio River. Shop Talk connects printers from nearby and far away to showcase diverse techniques, subjects, and perspective to honor artists' contributions and communities. So one cool aspect of the show was that it was an invitational show, and they invited local people in round one, and then those people had to invite someone else. So yeah, so Susanna Crum of Calliope Press invited me, so I'm excited to... I love Louisville. Louisville is such a fun town. It's a good art town. So it's open from April 20th through mid-August. It's a very long run show. But anyway.
Love that. Yeah. Very cool. So does that mean there will be a third iteration and you'll have to invite someone?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't think so.
That would be a fun, like, yearly way to...
Well, we're all, like, Suzanne invited me. She's also in the same show. So it's, like, that would be a cool idea, though, too, to have one show, and then that's hung, and then those people invite the next people.
Yeah.
That would be
pretty cool.
Yeah.
An idea for all of you out there. Okay, we have a residency to talk about, which we've talked about many a time before. It's a CCP residency. The call is out for their fall 24 residency. The link's in our bio. We've talked about CCP before, so go do it. The deadline is April 1st.
So we have a guest this time, and we have not had a guest in a while, so forgive us if we were rusty in this. But we had Sage Parrott, and you might also know her as Hey Peep.
Hey Peep.
Hey Peep.
Hey Peep.
Sage is awesome. You know her. You love her. Mm-hmm. And if you don't already follow her, which you probably do because she has like a ton of followers, it's just Hey Peep on Instagram. Website is heypeep.com.
Yeah.
We talk about West Virginia University. We talk about Sage is from West Virginia and went there. Sage teaches at Eastern Tennessee State University. Has taught in many places, has done the academia shuffle and moved around from state to state. But we talk a lot about building shops. We got very tangential and started talking about bat tattoos.
Cat tattoos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Beep, 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 beep. I just saw your post about the washout booth that y'all are building in the basement.
Yeah. Y'all is is more like Adam.
Oh, is it all Adam?
Well, he's building it on my behalf. he likes a structural and sort of problem solving challenge. So we were trying to figure out how to put a studio in our basement. And we were like, well, what's absolutely essential for both of us to be able to make what we want to make? And for me, that's screen printing. And for him, it's letterpress. And
which you already have, like, a breadth of letterpress equipment you've been lugging around.
We do. A lot of it's in storage right now, though, because we can't get a Vandercook into the basement because of the way you get into the basement. So we're trying to figure out how to potentially build a studio in our backyard. Get, like, one of those sheds and then sort of, like, make it heavier duty so that it can handle the weight of something like a
That'd be cool. Letterpress shed.
Oh my god,
what a dream,
right?
I'll send you pictures of the shed that I have, which is not a studio, but it has windows, so they like cut windows
exactly.
out.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Did you is it something that was on the property already, or is it something that you purchased? Yeah, I was gonna say
I'm renting. Yeah, it was already here, and she my landlord was a therapist and just did her like Zoom sessions out there.
Oh, cool.
So it's like got pine walls and ceiling, and she put carpet in there. So
it's really nice.
And heat.
I would love to see pictures of that.
Yeah.
Because we have all kinds of dreams and things we've conjured up, but it keeps changing. We think we're going to have to put down a concrete slab of some sort to have the sort of weight that we would like to kind of put in there. And then our studio would be split. Our quote home studio would be split between the shed and the basement still. Cause if we set up water plumbing and stuff in the basement, we're not going to do that in the shed. And then there's we've got a Riso duplicator down there as well right now. So,
Hell yeah.
twice. Does your Riso have a name?
No, I'm terrible. I'm not. Adam and I don't name our equipment.
That's cool.
I'm always like, maybe I should at some point, but I just, I'm almost afraid if I name it, it'll do something bad.
Oh no. You name it, you get too attached.
Maybe.
And then it breaks down.
Yeah, I could see that happening. I did bring it home and it immediately had issues. And I thought, it's something I did. But then
moving them, whispering at them.
Yeah.
Touching them weird.
Yeah. And then I basically in a panic texted Josh and was like, I think I broke the Riso already. And he's like, nah, you didn't.
Like, okay. It's just sleepy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Risos are always like, ugh, but really they're fine.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where did you get it from?
So there, Adam is a regular on sort of, he looks at government auctions a lot because you can find a lot of printmaking equipment that way, especially like bookbinding stuff and like guillotines and those sorts of things. And a local high school was selling the Risograph because they'd been using it as their like main office copier.
That's so funny.
And we did bid against someone, so I think someone else knew what it was, but we got it for not very much money, and it came with just a black drum, and then we bought a seafoam green drum recently. Yeah. And the hope is to add like a warm color at some point in the future. Yeah. When I have another big chunk of change for another drum,
because those are like $900, aren't they?
Yes.
Oh my god.
Yeah,
so
crazy. yeah keeping it simple with like black, cool, warm is smart. God, have a Riso. But also, yeah, I mean, you had to do some pretty inventive things like 3D printing a part, right?
Yeah.
Tell me about that, because we had a part that fell off the other day that I was like, no idea what that was or where it came from.
Totally.
And Adam was like, I think we could probably 3D print it. And I was like, all right, I believe.
Yeah, well, it worked. We have in our Riso lab at PNCA, we have 4 Risos, and one is like considerably older and more finicky, and her name's Nico. And it was just her.
How dare you call the finicky one Nico?
Why?
Like Nico Case?
Oh, I don't know. Oh, okay. I didn't name it. That's long anyway. Before my time. Her like paper catch tray, you know how part of it moves to catch like different sizes of paper essentially? Well, there's like this weird pressure hold system underneath.
Is it on the feed or where the paper comes out after it's been printed?
Where it comes out.
Okay, because mine is on the, my issue's on the other side. It's like the...
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, keep going, sorry.
Well, just essentially, I employed the help of a student and we 3D printed a replacement piece and it worked just fine. Mm-hmm. And I think it's like still in the machine.
How did they scan?
We took the old one out and then... we had to do a little imagining because part of it was broken, and it worked. I don't know. So I say go for it. And, you know, worst comes to worst, maybe you just don't have that part anymore.
Well, so far it hasn't caused any issues, which makes me think, like, what was that even?
Yeah.
Was that necessary?
Yeah.
But Adam has a little 3D printer, so I think we'll just we'll just do that.
Yeah.
That's so fun. And then you print it in a fun color.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even think about that part.
We did neon orange.
Ooh.
Yeah. So pretty obvious that that's secondhand part.
Yeah. She knew. Yeah. You have Risograph. You're going to have, do you have an exposure unit already?
I don't anymore. I had one. I sold one when I moved from Utah. I basically got rid of all my screen printing stuff when we moved. But... the plan is sort of to like use exposed screens on campus for now. Yeah. And then eventually work my way up to an exposure unit of some sort in our basement scenario. And that way we can do the whole process.
Yeah, that's what I do. Do you have a vacuum table or do you use just like clamp boards?
We just use clamp boards. Our studio at school is functional, but not physically very large. And so there just isn't room for certain things. And also our budget is, you know, not super robust. So we do not have a vacuum table or anything like that. Although I'd be interested in exploring that. I've never actually been in a situation where there was a vacuum table to use. So
Yeah. I mean, they're nice, but
for sure. No.
I mean, you don't have a ton. Do you have a couple, right? Or do you have a bunch at school?
We have two vacuum tables, and when we got them, there was a lot of excitement. Mm-hmm. And other than doing like publishing for visiting artists, they don't get used.
I need to know.
Yeah.
The thing I like about the big ones is the counterweight for the screen. That's the thing I really like. And then the arm.
Yeah.
Do you have a printing?
Do you have the big ones or the, I was going to say, because sometimes size has to do with whether or not they have some of those things, right?
The counterweight. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. The counterweight just makes it so if you lift the screen, it's just going to hover right here. You don't have to like lift it all way up and then it'll.
What do you think about those little spring loaded arms then? I don't know what that's called, but. You clamp onto the side of the screen.
I think they're called sidekicks. I almost bought one recently.
Yeah.
But then I did a poll on Instagram and I got like 50-50 sort of mixed reviews from a variety of trusted screen printers, and I didn't know where to go from there.
Yeah. Okay. They do have the ability to kind of like shoot up.
Yeah.
And I can see like
that could be real messy. Yeah. Yeah. And you use clamp boards at home?
Yeah. I mean, I haven't really screen printed much or at all in our studio because there's not really any, like I couldn't clean it up at this point. There's no plumbing in the basement that you can access. Like there's not a mop sink or anything down there. So like, that's part of what this whole thing is that we're doing is we're going to put in.
You're full on taking plumbing to the basement?
There's plumbing that goes up through the basement anyway, because where that washout booth will be is beneath our kitchen. And so Adam's just tapping into the current plumbing so that it empties into the,
Has he been good at plumbing or is he YouTubing this?
Adam is just mechanically minded. This is turning into a podcast about Adam.
I'm just curious because I am terrified. Like the two things I like wouldn't do when I owned a home was like, plumbing and electricity.
Yeah.
Oh, like, electricity is I feel like you're going to die.
Adam has some experience, and I mean, his current employment and his previous employment, where he was a studio technician and now he's the studio coordinator, a lot of their job is like figuring this stuff out. And so he will figure it out, even if he's not traditionally trained in, in plumbing or electrical. So I'm going on faith here.
Yeah, I think that's great. Like, I'm terrified of that stuff.
Yeah.
You got Rezo. You're going to have screen printing. Adam's got shit tons of letterpress that you can use.
We got all kinds of wood type down there. Man, he bought a mountain of wood type recently from some guy who just had it in his garage for years.
Hell yeah.
So he's been going through that and cleaning all that. Yeah. And hopefully by the end of it, we can kind of do almost anything there. I mean, dream scenarios, we get all that set up. And then I would love to have like a little etching press. I think that would be amazing. And we've had equipment over the years in and out, on and off, like things that we've purchased and then he's fixed up and we've sold and that kind of thing. And so we don't currently have an etching press. So that would be another thing that I would love to add to the repertoire.
Yeah. Totally. I mean, you own your home. So just go ham.
Just go all in.
Yeah. Get so much heavy shit in that basement.
I just
blast a wall out.
Yeah, just blast a wall out. Just put as much letterpress and old, heavy, rusty things in the house and then like 500 cats.
Yeah, easy.
I remember talking to Catherine Polk once about some house that she and Andy lived in and they had their lithopress in their dining room and then used that as their dining room table sometimes. I was like, that is priorities, man. Yeah. Like
our flat file is in our dining room, which I don't love. but we'll get there someday. We'll get everything. The basement was not very nice when we moved in here, and so it's been a lot of like sort of sprucing it up and making sure that there's not like water and stuff happening before we put anything super valuable down there. So
Yeah. Are you patient with some of that stuff? Because I'm like when I had to, you're smiling at me already. My last place, I had to like paint the walls and shit and then like epoxy the floors. And I do the same thing every time I move where I just get so fixated on something that I'm like, I must finish this now or I cannot rest. And so I have to be unpacked in a day. Mm. And like that kind of stuff is like, man, I need to chill.
I think I'm just like pulled too many ways and I tend to lose interest in things. My attention span is, you know, it's here and there. like I'll get really fixated on one thing and worry about that for a long time and then move on to another thing. The focus has only really recently been on the studio because of like tenure stuff, because there was that sort of like, well, if I don't get tenure and I've done all this work, like what are we going to do with that? That'll be resolved soon as far as like, I will know whether or not that's a thing and it's looking promising. So
you submitted it. Yay.
We submitted in the fall. We don't find out until May.
God, it's so long. That's a
long wait.
They make you wait a long time.
Heinous.
Yeah. So now there's this, refocus on getting the basement to how we liked. There was also, I mean, we had a space that was external to our home space. There was a place in town called Skillville that was a maker space, and we rented a space there for a couple years, and then COVID killed that and we had to move everything either into storage or into the basement. And so I think we've still just sort of been like very slowly recovering from that and trying to figure out what goes where and what makes sense to keep and what makes sense to get rid of. Like, my general rule is like, if we think we will never ever be able to afford it again or have it again, then we should not get rid of it. Acquire things as needed from there.
Yeah,
totally.
And also like that thing is huge. Like, can't buy that because I can't lug that out. Yeah,
we've got a nice drying rack and a Vandercook number 3 in storage right now. And mine and Gwen's show in storage, which is also in there. And then a guillotine cutter we have in there.
I don't even care. So if I see one of those,
I want one.
I'm
so
taking
bad.
It, even yeah. though I'm renting right now, and I will have to move it again.
Look on,
put it on Caster.
So govdeals.org is where it's at, man.
Yeah. Govdeals.org.
Every school, like we have, if we're selling equipment at our school, we have to like legally have to put it on GovDeals.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Like I'm considering getting rid of Litho, which everybody is.
Gasp.
I know.
Gasp. Damn.
I know. I'm still.
Is it a space thing or what?
It's kind of a space thing. Like, it's a pretty big litho press for considering that my max stone is like this big.
You get a smaller press? Could you trade somebody?
Maybe.
We have 3 litho presses. You could probably trade us. I think they're the same size as yours, though. Are they?
I think so. Well, like, I would love a mini. Like, I remember having a. Is it called Fredericks?
Fuchs and Lang. There was a one that was like a Fuchs and Lang here, which sometimes those are a little smaller.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I want something like that or a small Griffin, mm-hmm. but those are harder to find.
Oh, yeah, and they're real pretty.
But I have not so the max size package, but the pretty big one. And it's just, it only gets used in printmaking 3, which is like my classes are stacked. So I'll have one printmaking 3 student.
Ugh.
And it is like, that class doesn't transfer to any 4-year schools as printmaking 3. It just transfers as an elective, an art elective.
Mm.
So I can do whatever the hell I want in that class. It's like,
it's weird because we've had a resurgence of interest amongst students in lithography here. And
that's cool.
I can take almost no credit for that. Not because but our studios are not robust in the sense that again space wise they're not huge, but we do have a Charles Brand litho press. It's pretty big, but it only gets used for the litho class, and then you know it sits there and takes up a lot of space, and we do have stones, but I have a thing about like if I get rid of it I feel like that's going to be a huge mistake for our department. And we have a guy that teaches here, John Hilton, who's really wonderful, and he does a great job and he really loves litho. And so but we've had a few students that have really like fallen in love with it in the past couple of years. And
that's rad.
So I did get rid of a small press that was sort of not in the best repair. And it was like, it would be better off in someone else's hands. Cause it hadn't been used in like 10 years. So
yeah. Yeah. Caring for our equipment and stuff at school. It's like, Like, I feel like my colleagues in other departments, like people that teach math, they don't.
They have no idea.
They don't. Like, they don't know. I mean, they have more grading, I think, than I do. But still, it's like they don't have to take care of facilities.
Yeah, our building's like been refurbished and is nice, but it's the bones of it are like 100 years old or something. Yeah, crazy. Yeah. It's super old.
Yeah. Yeah, ours is like 60s, so they're like, we can do this until we have to take a wall out, and then we're gonna hit asbestos.
Yeah,
so let's not.
Everything's brown,
and we'll just patch over it.
Yeah,
everything's brown. Yeah,
we have a lot of plumbing issues in our building currently, and that's been a real challenge. There's just been, like, over, was it this past Christmas? All the pipes froze. And burst.
Yeah.
And we had some. Yeah, yeah. And we got an email that was just like, so the building's in really bad shape. You'll have to come take a look when we allow you in. And I was like, now wait a minute. Like, I'm going in now. I was like, what does that mean exactly? So
yeah, they just told us, they were like, pipes burst and we're dealing with it. And I'm like, Where did pipes burst? Is it near mine?
Yeah.
Right. Because it's like, well, I've got like the whole printmaking archive like in my office. I'm like 2 decades of prints. Like I'm the steward of these things that aren't even, you know, from my time there. Like, they're prints from previous students and things. But thankfully, they weren't affected by that particular flood.
So. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Ay.
You want to talk about your prints?
Yeah, like, tell us about stuff you make.
My prints.
One of the questions was, like, when do you first film? Like, you went to West Virginia,
mm-hmm.
and Joe was your teacher.
He was, yes.
He was so lovely man. did you take printmaking at all, or did you know what it was before you went to college?
I knew what printmaking was because my uncle is a graphic designer, and so I had some inkling of that. And then my sister was a printmaker at WVU before I was. Mm-hmm. She had different instructors because by the time I got there, we're 6 years apart in age. So it was like just enough time for there to be sort of like this turnover of people like going on to different jobs and whatnot. And sort of in between, I think as she was leaving, Joe got hired, like maybe her last mm-hmm. year that she was there, he got hired for the next year. So she never didn't have any mm-hmm. classes with him, but then he was there when I got there, but was like early on when he had sort of first arrived at WVU. So
yeah.
So at the time, the class structure was that you took, and I think he's changed a lot of this. It's been a while. at the time, the structure was that you took, there wasn't an intro to printmaking class. You just jumped right into lithography. So
what?
So lithography. So I actually took lithography as my first printmaking class in college.
And yet you kept going.
Oh, yeah. Which is, you know, it's lithography. I don't know. I was like,
that would have scared me away.
I was like, if I just keep going with this, we're going to be good. I actually really liked stone lithography, but the kind of imagery I was making, even at the time, didn't necessarily make a whole lot of sense for lithography. So then the next semester I took etching, and I really, really, really liked that. And at the time that was how it was structured. It was like litho etching. And then it was like litho 2, etching 2. Like, that was, there wasn't a relief class. There wasn't a screen class. Like, none of that was built into the curriculum yet, except at the advanced level. And like I said, I think he's changed a lot of that. So it's now there. But there was a screen printing class offered in the summer, a 3-week, like, super intensive screen printing class. And I remember seeing prints in the case. And I was like, whatever that is, that's what I need to be doing. I was like, whatever process this is, whatever it is, that's what I want to learn. So I signed up for the summer class, and it was great, and I really loved it. So then I just kept trying to do that. So.
Fell in love with that squeegee.
Yeah, I was also just lucky that Joe was there, too. Like, a grad student was like, I think you should take a class with him. Because I had one of the grad students was teaching my drawing class. And she was like, you should take a class. Mm-hmm. He has, like, similar sort of interests. He likes comic books, like... Mm-hmm. You know, drawing, but not necessarily always drawing from life. Although he did teach my figure drawing class.
Funny.
Yeah. Okay. Which that class was a hoot. You should talk to him sometime. I don't know if he remembers that class specifically. Yeah, so I ended up taking classes with him, and he's just, you know, he's a good educator and a smart person and a kind person and exactly the type of person you would like in a position like that. I think he's very encouraging and critical when needed and that kind of thing. So
yeah. I mean, he has so many alumni that are just really good at critical thinking. I don't know, just like really good artists. He's pumping them out. Like, he's clearly a really good educator. And whenever I met him, I was like, God, he's so sweet. He's so sweet.
Such a sweet guy.
Yeah.
I was like maybe not the best student in some ways. I don't know. I was like maybe a little bit kind of salty and like grumpy sometimes. So I appreciated that.
What, your early 20s?
Yeah. I was like, appreciating early 20s. Was willing to tolerate this and deal with it and still talk to me after the fact. So, and that studio is, I miss that studio. It's very spacious. It's nice. Beautiful light because it's at the top of the building and they have skylights. It's really nice.
Oh, yeah. So nice.
Super stuff. Super good stuff.
So you mentioned, I know this because I follow your siblings. But your sister is a printmaker and also does like sculptural stuff that she sells. Like she does her blocks.
Mm-hmm.
And then your brother's an artist. Mm-hmm. What does he do again?
Well, he draws mostly and paints.
Yeah. Okay.
Cool.
Yeah.
How did, I'm always like, how did that start? I mean, were you all really creative when you were younger? And then.
I think we all did it because we liked it and our parents encouraged us to do things like that. Did you guys ever play the doodle game where like one person draws a squiggle and the other person has to turn it?
Yeah.
I'm like, okay. We did a lot of that growing up because it was inexpensive and affordable and entertaining as a kid.
Yeah.
Bryn always was like just someone that was always going to be an artist. Like there was just never any question. It was just, she was always painting or doing something creative. And that's just how like she's entirely wired up. It's just, she's just like, I don't know what else she would have done. She's just, that's what she's meant to be. My brother was an athlete. He was a basketball player and he played baseball as a little kid. And he liked to skateboard a lot. And so he was more into that than he was into creative pursuits, but he was always interested in creative things and he always drew and he always liked to draw. And then he found some of that sort of later, later on as he got a little bit older, and then it's nice to have like a built-in community. So we have a group text chain thing that we just send artwork to perpetually, and then get feedback from each other and all that good stuff and talk about art that we're interested in. And I don't know.
That's really nice.
Oh,
yeah.
Man, that sounds great.
It is great. I'm very fortunate in that regard. And they both live in Morgantown, so they can see each other all the time, but I'm further away. I'm like 6 hour or 6.5 hour drive away or so. More like six, depends. So it's just like a good way for me to keep in touch with them and work on stuff and see what they're up to. And it's also like nice to have that it's outside of sort of the academic setting. But yeah. And Bryn has a BFA in printmaking. So yeah, my brother also works at a bakery. He's a really good cook too.
That's right.
So there's a lot of good things happening there.
Yeah. Is Bryn a full-time artist?
She is, yeah. So she does design work for people. Like she works at Jackie O's a lot, which is a beer company in Ohio. Cool. And she does, like she did a book cover recently. And yeah, but she does a lot of creates those woodcuts and sells them. Max spends most of his time at the bakery, but then he sells stuff also that he makes. He does paintings and stuff. And occasionally he does like print stuff in conjunction with people. Like I've helped him print stuff before and he's also worked with Josh Dannon to print some things like long distance on the Riso and all that.
That's awesome. Rad.
Do y'all ever collaborate?
We have in the past. And then we've been talking about collaborating for a long time, but we haven't done a whole lot of it recently. I know at one point we were going to do a t-shirt thing again. We'd done a sticker in the past and some things, but we should definitely do more of that. We've all just been sort of busy with our own stuff. And so, but it would be good to make some time for something like that. That's actually fun and a good thing to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's hard to do those things long distance.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you're together, you're like, oh, there's all these things I want to do. Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah. Stuff. I went home for spring break because I hadn't been home since December. And I like to see my family, and that's part of the reason we moved back east. And we did hang out and just, like, have a drink and sit around and draw all together, which was pretty fun. So
that's
we
nice.
Try to do that with some. So we did that a lot over when everything was closed during COVID. We would do FaceTime and then hang out.
We
do morning coffee all together and then draw.
Oh, yeah, that's cute.
Yeah, it was pretty fun.
So good. Love that.
Mm, man.
Family stuff.
Mm-hmm. You want to ask the blob question?
This one. Oh, sure. So some of your creatures you've coined as blobs. How do you find these anthropomorphized creatures? What did I say that right?
Anthropomorphized.
I added a little something. Yeah. How do you find these creatures useful in your work? Are they used as symbolism or as stand-ins for human experiences?
I mean, a little bit of both. I mean, I like sort of created them in part because they aren't immediately identifiable as a specific animal always, and they're not immediately identifiable as like a human figure. But mm-hmm. if you want to talk about like people and their emotions and your personal emotions, you sort of have to mask it so that everyone can understand it. I'm sure there are artists that would disagree with me, and that's totally fine.
Let them. Yeah.
But it's a sort of way, like, they're not necessarily gendered. It's not somebody with a certain color hair or certain type of eyes or whatever, however you want to put it. And so they sort of are just like my manipulation. I can manipulate them and do what I need with them to say what I want to say about things. Mm-hmm. So, and I've always liked animals. I'm a big fan of animals. So they're definitely heavily influenced by small furry mammals and such.
Yeah. Little floofs.
That's cool. That's an interesting way to make art more accessible. It's like, if it's not immediately recognizable as something, then more people can find themselves in that imagery.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the hope, but I know that sometimes it works sort of against me because people are like, what is that thing? And I'm like, well, and they're like, it's a cat, right? It's a cat. And I'm like, well, sometimes it's a cat.
Why does it need to be a thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, different people feel different ways. I think some people really don't like ambiguity. they find it very unsettling, which, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I like also that you use an aesthetic that fits like comic zines, things that makes some of your content that's maybe more political or emotional easy to latch on to for a lot of folks. That's one of the things I was first attracted to in your work. And the blobs.
They're a little lumpy. Lumpy blobs.
Lumpy.
Yeah, and it's I also just pull from things that I like and how they look, and I've always been interested in like graphic, big colorful flats and children's book illustrations, mm-hmm. comic books. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that I look at that I just love looking at, and so sometimes my work ends up looking a little bit like that, which is I think most people, right?
Yeah,
look at the things you like.
Yeah,
see where it goes from there.
Yeah. Are you working on anything now?
Oh man,
so many things.
It's a really busy semester with a lot of like service obligations, and so I would love to be working on more stuff, but what I've been trying to do is I used to be someone who drew every day, no matter what, always. And I fell a little bit out of that. So I've just been trying to do that a little bit every day and come up with like a bank of images so that I can start making prints in my basement, basically. Mm-hmm. It's really tricky. It sounds like an excuse, but it is pretty tricky to get into the school studio and actually make any of my own work, because I find that a lot of times when I'm in there, if there is anybody else in there, it's hard. And then the other part that happens
is, I know about that.
Yeah. The other part is that I become the resource. So anytime something happens with anybody in the studio, they might need help. Or I often go in there and I think, well, I'm just going to tidy up real quick. And then it's like 2 hours later and I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
So I've decided that the best way to get back into consistently, I mean, I always make stuff, but getting back into the production level that I used to have, I need a space for that. And that's where the basement comes in. And if I have that, nobody can interrupt that, then I will get a lot more done. That was the other, the reason I got the risograph also, was that I was like, if I have one in my basement, then I can just walk downstairs in my pajamas and make it up.
Oh my God. Yeah. Printing in slippers is just...
What a dream.
Right? Love it. Oh, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And being busy with work, it's like... I've heard so many people have advice for how to maintain a regular practice. Like you talked about drawing every day. Mm-hmm. I've never been able to do that.
Mm.
And it's just a real thing. It's like it takes... Like, whenever service is heavier, it takes so much of your energy and even creative energy, like, coming up with, like, creative problem solving and curriculum stuff. Like, yeah, it zaps you.
Yeah. And I will say that the other thing I've been working on is that I work on the Zine Fest here in Johnson City with the person who started it. Her name's Susie Kelly. So we actually met today. And that's always really exciting to talk about that. That happens in the fall here. We did just lose our space, so we have to find a new location, but we had a good long meeting about that, and that's an exciting thing to look forward to. It's like, it's a nice big community event, and it features a certain kind of art that that doesn't always feature super prominently around here, always. Mm-hmm. Although there's been pretty big resurgence of, or maybe incurrence of art now here. I'm also on the public art committee. So that is the Johnson City public art committee. And so we've got like a big mural coming up where so that's something. You can cut this out of the thing if you want, or you can share it with people. We have an open call right now for muralists, big mural on Buffalo Street, which is right in our downtown.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. So you can look for that. And then we also have a big arts festival that's happening in about a month. It's called Art Struck, and I'm doing the road roller event on that. And I've got one of my alums from a few years ago is going to carve the big block. And so there's a lot of stuff going on. It's just a matter of like personal creative stuff tends to end up.
Yeah.
Well, an MAPC in the fall, right? So
yeah. Are you doing things for that?
I'm organizing a portfolio. It's a bat themed portfolio. I think it's going to be really good. I'm really excited about it, mostly because it's bats.
Yeah.
But we'll see. Yeah. No, I'm excited by the lineup and everything. It's going to be great.
When we hang up, I'll show you my bat tattoo.
Oh, sweet. I've got a bat.
I mean, I can just show you now. This is going to get cut out.
Yeah. You have to do so much editing.
Oh my God.
Cute. Love that.
I mean, this is cute. Just visual. You don't have to edit it out. Mine's up here.
Oh, I like that.
I had somebody ask me if it was yours. If it was yours.
drawing. I could see that.
Yeah. It is cute. I like it.
Yeah. It kind of looks like Adventure Time, too.
Yeah. Guess I have to get a bat tattoo. Get a bat tattoo.
You might as well. Batoo.
Batoo. Okay. Two tattoos. Two? Do I have three? I have three tattoos.
Nice. I have
cat tattoo.
Yeah.
I have one tattoo.
Only one.
Mine's very angry looking. Well, I'm like, oh, I'm gonna get a tattoo, and then I'm like, money. Not because I don't think they're worth money. I think they're great and whatever, but I'm always like, oh, I always get something else to pay for, like a real living cat that needs something. But, yeah.
Right. Yeah. Oh yeah.
Beautiful tattoo.
He's got a kind of a grumpy face.
That looks fresh.
Oh, cute.
Yeah.
I also don't have a tattoo.
Well, get on it.
Well, damn.
You have your dog's name, but not a dog's tattoo.
Two dog names.
Yeah.
Mm.
Pete.
Oh, that's right.
Pete and Otis.
Yeah.
Aw.
Yeah. My guys.
Sweet.
Yeah. Cool. You got anything else?
So you often have your stuff printed. Your images go on products like t-shirts. What's the company you use?
I use Threadless mostly because Threadless, like made to order.
Yeah. I mean, that makes so much sense to use that because then you don't have like stock that you have to deal with and you don't have to ship it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But do you
Do you make work specifically for that, or do you end up making work and then go, that would look rad on a shirt?
Both.
Both. Okay.
So sometimes I draw something that I'm like, this is for a sticker. And then sometimes this is just a cool image. I'll make it into a print. And then sometimes I'm like, oh, this would make a nice t-shirt. And then I'll translate it into a file for that. So it just depends on what I'm doing and like what I need to be doing. I also have, I drop off work periodically to this local place called Holler House, which is actually really cool. If you don't know about it, you should look it up. It carries all like local and regional artists' work, but they carry a lot of stickers and prints and things. And the guy who runs it is a local artist named Brian Surway, and he has a big following on Instagram. But it's nice because I can make things and just sort of like deliver them whenever. And he's always very like, sure, let's do it. Why not? Let's give it a try. I'm like, all right. Cool. Yeah. Cool. So I like to name drop them sometimes just because I think they're doing a nice thing in the community.
Yeah. That's rad.
By providing a platform to a bunch of different artists, which is, you know, it's not as prevalent in places like this because there just hasn't been that opportunity yet. But I think it's all that's starting to happen much more frequently now.
Mm-hmm. That's really nice. Yeah.
Yeah. So Mapsy, bat. Oh yeah, we got distracted. Bats. we're both going. You're definitely going.
You're going.
Like pretty damn sure I'm going.
Damn sure. Yeah. I have to because I committed to things.
Cool.
What are you doing? What are you on? What's your?
I am having a little bit of imposter syndrome about this, but Becky Spruly is doing an AI type panel.
Oh.
And I had my digital students do an AI project just as a means to like talk about the pitfalls of it, and had them do a project that involved them doing like reflection paper. Anyway, I am not like, I even had to have Daniel show me how to use the AI that he's played around with because I've never even done it before. But I was like, this is a new class and I have to do this. So now Becky was like, ooh, be on this panel. And I was like, I'm gonna like start it off with, I'm not an expert.
Oh, I did one project. I don't know.
Yeah.
It'll be good.
Yeah.
At some point, we don't have to talk about it now, but I want to hear about the printmakers of Portland or whatever it is. It all started. I'm interested in that. I'm super interested in that.
Yeah. Let's talk about it. Whatever.
Yeah.
It's a little club. I think that myself, I don't know if you were dreaming about this ahead of time.
Pre-pandemic, you were like, I want to do a club thing, and then
I tried to start it in like 2019, and then, you know, we all know what happened.
We were kind of new to Portland.
A little new to Portland, didn't know everybody yet. Not that I know everybody, but who am I? But then, you know, cooked through the pandemic, and then I knew that like Kate from Outlet also had, or Kate Bingham-Burt, from Outlet, the Rizzo shop, was also dreaming of something. Mm. So then we all just like came together, and it's Edie, myself, Kate, and Leland. And we're just trying to like coordinate community in Portland. So far it's been a lot of like promoting events that are happening, print related events, like the Secret Room Press.
That looks super cool also. Sorry. I'm cool, like, dude. I've been watching all of this from across the country, and I'm like, oh, I'm so jealous. I want to be part of whatever this is. This looks like a good
time. You can be an honorary member. It was really cool. I'm so stoked that they have a storefront now, and it's in a really good spot, so they'll get a lot of foot traffic. So I'm hopeful for those folks. But and the next one that is next weekend is the Reed Zine Fest. So I try to go to all of them and like take videos and then post that on Instagram so people, you know, feel encouraged to like, oh, go to the next one, or like sync the Google calendar to their Google calendar so they, it, you know, automatically updates. And then
Outlet's having a birthday party.
Outlet's having a birthday party in April, which will be cute.
And then my school's having an open house in May. And it's just nice because I'm way the fuck out in Gresham, which a lot of people are like, oh, that's so far. And they also, everybody also thinks that I'm on the literal mountain half the time. They're like, Mount Hood Community College. Like, no, still a good 45 minutes to the mountain. you can see it. I'm not that far out. Yeah, that's crazy. That's why people, you know, don't come out. So it'll be exciting. And we're going to do t-shirt printing. And some sort of
I come live with you?
We're going to do like a bring your scrap prints. And then we're going to make collage pages. And then I want to rezo print. I don't know. I feel like I'm trying to do too much like we did, where I'm going to be like, I'm going to be doing it at Outlet.
Okay, word.
But I'm like, let's do this, and then I'll like email, I'll mail you a zine, and I'm probably going to regret this.
I'll help you.
Or I can just laser cut, I could laser print them too.
Like, I was going to say, the people involved are all superhuman, so I think you'll figure it out.
Like,
my perception of you all and Kate, I don't know Leland, but
Leland's a little more behind the scenes, but total there chef's kiss.
Right. Did the website.
Did the fucking website. All the graphics. Oh, Leland can crush.
Yeah. So I think you're good. I think shoot for the stars. Yeah. And then
we'll get it. We're good.
And then fly me out there, and then I'll never leave.
Deal. Bring your finger
all
cook,
your equipment.
Your wood type.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah.
Live with us now.
All your cats. Bring all your five cats. I also really enjoy, this is totally off topic entirely, but how much your cats try to steal your food. I'm sure you don't enjoy that, but watching your cats try to steal your toast is so cute.
They are intense in a way that some other cats are not. People are like, oh, I would never. And I'm like, I don't know. They're my everything. So I just do whatever they want to do.
Will you list their names off for all of us that want to know?
So they have good names. In order of age, from oldest to youngest, it's Peep, Tanuki, Weevil, Pigpen, and Radar.
Oh, so cute. Oh my god. Okay, just betwixt us and all of the listeners, do you have a favorite?
Oh god. Peep. No.
No?
They all have a special place, and I could go on a long thing. Peep is my soulmate. Tanuki's the party dude. Weevil is baby in training, because he's like Peep's mentee. And then Pigpen is my tiny little pixie, because he's like flits around the house. And then Radar is baby with a capital B.
Baby with a capital B.
I also thought of this, because I just realized what it was. Is Tanuki named after the Japanese raccoon dog?
Yeah.
Okay.
I
saw it on Instagram and I was like, I thought that Sage just made that name up.
No. It's definitely pulled from that. And it's because I found him on the street. And he was a big boy when I found him. He's skinny now because he's old and he's got some health stuff. But he was also always like climbing into the trash can and getting and like things out of there. We had to buy like a different trash can and like put magnets on cabinets.
Oh my goodness.
He's a lot less rambunctious now that he's like 16. But Pigpen has, you know, sort of taken that task on.
Yeah. And Peep is 17 or 18?
Peep is almost 18. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Same as Oscar.
Wow. Yeah.
Babies.
Babies. Forever babies.
I've been trying to convince Adam that 6 is the perfect number.
Oh, yeah. Did you put it on Instagram or did you text it to me, the picture of the ones that were up for adoption?
They've been on Insta because I've seen them too, and those names are so good.
There have been some real all-stars that we have missed out on. And
hey, at least they're getting adopted.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Everyone always is like, well, at least they're getting adopted. And then I'm like, yeah, but the selfish part of me wants it to be mine. But yes, it's very good that they're getting adopted. We did go to the shelter yesterday to see what was what. And it seemed like a lot of, they had done a very good job adopting out cats. There were not a huge amount, which was actually a good thing. I had one that I had my eye on, but I could not convince my other half.
He's going with you to a shelter. How much more convincing does he need? Like, what does he think is going to happen?
I don't know. So we have a long, complicated relationship with cats, and I'm typically the one that's like, well, let's just go ahead and do this. And he's like, all right. I mean, he loves them.
When have 3, why not 5?
Well, and this is, people are always like, well, it's just so many cats. I'm like, I mean, after a certain number, it's like, I mean,
I mean, more fur, it's fine.
For sure. I would love to screen in the porch, but I could talk about cats all day. That's the problem. I always say, oh, but this cat is so cute. My mom always goes, Sage, they're all cute. That's the problem.
Some are cuter than others, I gotta say. But
that's true.
Yeah.
But
kittens.
Like, I don't really particularly find hairless cats cute. Aww. I love watching. I love hearing them smack each other. Like, get into a fight. And yeah.
Well, there's certainly certain kinds of cats, like, as far as the way they look, that I tend to have a soft spot for. And you can see it in the breakup of our cats, right? It's like, I really, really like black cats, and I really, really like tabbies, and I like tabby, especially long-haired tabbies. I'm just like, always a long-haired tabby. I'm like, oh, give me that weird one. Like, big pile of stripy hair. It's so good.
Oh, cute.
Amazing.
I'm going to have to send you, there's an Instagram story. I will send it to you when we get off. That is a list of terms for the primordial pouch. And my favorite one is Foopastank.
Foopastank! No!
And then the other one is Meat Curtain.
No!
Oh!
Oh,
yucky! There's a lot of good ones that I can't remember that just keeps going. But
Foopastank, dude.
But the Meat Curtain one also makes me think of Emmy Linkshite was telling me that they call the floof on the back of the legs butt curtains.
Like, <funny.
laughs> which is for their dog.
Yeah.
They call it for their dog, but I started doing that.
But meat curtain is also, isn't meat curtain like a euphemism for something else?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I was like, are we fully aware of what's happening?
Yeah, I'm aware.
Okay, good. But
I'm just inappropriate.
Oh, no, I just wasn't sure what was, you know, what was in limits, off limits. I had a radio shift when I was in college, but it was like on the real, for real radio. So you, FCC stuff, you could not, there was like a lot of stuff you could not say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, damn.
That's not the case here. I would be fired.
Yeah.
Yeah. You just had to be really careful, and there were some people that they had to bring in and talk to, but.
Oh, man. Uh-oh. I have been fired. I still think of that one time that I was reading my own copy and it said ED for, I almost did it again, for executive director, but I said erectile dysfunction. And I was like, keep it in, whatever. Can't always get spitter water out.
I do. My problem is that I always, like, an ongoing joke, and again, maybe this should be edited out too, but just like, you know, when someone says 420, like the joke is that someone's like, yeah, blaze it or whatever.
Yeah.
But I have been in more professional settings where someone was like, yeah, we'll be meeting on 420. I'll be like, blaze it. I'm like, oh. Like, I am not in a setting where that is going to be an understood joke or that anyone's going to find funny.
That's
obvious. So, that's always good. I'm really good at putting my foot in my mouth.
Oh, me too.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
Let's just lean into it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just, like, let myself be more ridiculous the older I get. I'm just like, I don't give a shit.
Don't care.
Don't care.
Don't care.
Thank you for listening to Newsprint Pod. You can find us on Instagram at Newsprint Pod, at eOverturf, and at Cami York. You can find us online at newsprintpod.com. Please like and subscribe. Thank you, and keep printing.